Happy Sabbath, everyone. How about our first Sabbath in heaven? How about seeing Jesus right there in heaven on our first Sabbath? Next to the Father and the Holy Spirit there being all together, and we get to see them, and we get to be with them, and we get to worship them. How about that first Sabbath? Amen. Super Dave, you gonna like that, Super Dave? I'm gonna love it, baby. I'm gonna love it. Happy Sabbath, church. Happy Sabbath. Feliz. Oh, muy bien. Feliz Sábado. How many of you love the Sabbath? How many of you love the Sabbath? You know, I think as we get closer to Jesus, we love the Sabbath even more. Is that true? Yeah. Amen. I love the Sabbath. It's the most special day of the week. I wake up on Sabbath morning, and I see that all of you woke up on Sabbath morning, and I feel the presence of Jesus on Sabbath more than I feel on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. I feel the presence of Jesus. I feel forgiven. I feel forgiven. I can't wait to get to church. Can't wait to get to Franktown Church. This morning I was driving and I was jamming in my car as I was hearing a song about Jesus. I can't wait to get to church and worship Jesus on Sabbath. The one that the Bible says, whoever is forgiven much loves much, but to who little is forgiven, the same loves what? Little. I have been forgiven so many times that I love him with all my heart and all my soul because I'm forgiven constantly. Even with my thoughts, I always ask Jesus, please forgive me for what I just thought. Do you ever do that? Yeah, what a savior. Isaiah 66, verse 23 says that when we all get to heaven, from Sabbath to Sabbath, we will come and we will worship Jesus. It doesn't say from Sunday to Sunday. It doesn't say from Friday to Friday. Are you listening to me? It says from Sabbath to Sabbath, we will come and we will worship Jesus. I can't wait to stand by David. My name's David, but I get to stand by King David. And I get to stand by Mary. You know Mary from Magdala. And Paul, the Apostle Paul. I can't wait to meet the Apostle Paul. They were forgiven much. They were forgiven of their sins. And we will all bow down before our Savior and praise him for saving us from our sin. I love this. Son of David, have what? Mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, thank you so much. Do you know this hymn? And I asked Mark to sing this for me this morning and for you all to sing with me because my brother tells me to sing in sign language, okay? He says, David, you sing so horribly that you need to sing in sign language, okay? So that's why I've asked him to sing this and for all of us to sing this together. Do you know it? Jesus, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. Praise him, all right? Sing with us.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Oh, proclaim, can't hear you. Like a shepherd, in his arms he carries them all day long. Come on. Praise him. Amen. Boy, you sounded absolutely beautiful this morning. Open your Bibles. All right, we're going to start by opening our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 2. Did you like singing? Did you like praising him this morning? You were already praising him already with the Surrender All and some of the hymns that we sang this morning. By the way, every time I come to Franktown, the music gets better and better. And I'm not trying, I'm asking the Lord not to get jealous of Mark or Jamie. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask for your talent. All right, because this place is just getting better every Sabbath. Amen. Come on. Amen, church. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark was written for those who are suffering. What was it written for? I'm going to do a David Asherick on you. What was it written for? It was for those who are suffering. Some of you might be suffering this morning. Some of you might be suffering this morning. Maybe it's because of your health. Maybe you woke up, you just don't feel good. Maybe you went to the doctor and he told you something you didn't want to hear. Maybe you're suffering in a relationship. Maybe you're suffering in a relationship. You know who you are. If you're suffering from a relationship, because a relationship and the pain of the heart is greater than a physical pain. Maybe it's your guilt or shame. Maybe it's your guilt or shame. Maybe you're depressed. When I visit a patient, I ask, what is your misery index today? What is your misery index today? This morning, I'm asking you, what is your misery index? If you are suffering, I believe God has brought you to this church. Amen? I believe God has brought you to this church. This is a divine appointment. When Jesus started his ministry, one of the first miracles he performed was on the Sabbath. He healed the demoniac in the temple on the Sabbath. Did you know that Jesus healed 7 times on the Sabbath? Come on, that's pretty cool. 7 times on his Sabbath, he healed people. Jesus can heal you and me on this Sabbath. Are you ready to be healed? Are you ready to be healed? After healing the demoniac, Jesus begins to heal people all over Galilee. And his fame is spreading. The prophet Isaiah said the Messiah would be in Galilee, and those in Galilee would see a great, come on, what did Isaiah say? Those in Galilee would see a great light. They would see a great light. This is in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah predicted a virgin birth in Isaiah 7. Isaiah said he would be from the stem of Jesse. Isaiah said the Messiah would suffer and die. Chapter what? Come on, Bible students. Chapter 53. Isaiah said he would suffer and die. Isaiah wrote all of this hundreds of years before Jesus came to this earth. The story of Jesus is real. Do you believe that? The story of Jesus is real. This is no fairy tale. If there's someone here who is an atheist or maybe an agnostic, I challenge you to read the Bible and then let's come and reason together. Jesus goes into Capernaum, his favorite city. In fact, it was known as his city, not because he was born there, because we know he was born in Nazareth, but he was in Galilee and he was in Capernaum so many times that it was known as his city. And he goes into Peter's mother's house, and everyone starts sprinting to the house because they know Jesus is there. Let's read the story. But before we do, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask for your Spirit today. Holy Spirit, we know you're the one that gives that, so please be here with us today. Open our ears. Open our eyes so that we may see. Father, be with me today. Jesus, be with me today. Spirit, be with me today. You know I'm a mess. I need your help. Please help me now. In the most precious name that was ever said, Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's read that together. Mark chapter what? Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1. Okay. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come, what? My Bible says he'd come home. That's the NIV. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Wouldn't you love Jesus preaching the word to you? Wouldn't that be awesome? But the Bible says that there were so many there that it was just absolutely jammed. Packed. How many of you have been to a party that there was no room? None of you? Oh, wow, we got some perfect saints here. Okay, no room. There was no room. Some men came, bringing him bringing to him a paralytic carried by how many men? Four. When I read this, I thought, you know what? This had to be a big man. Four guys to carry this gentleman to Jesus. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And since I'm from New Mexico, I thought, man, this house has to be adobe. They went right through the roof. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are what? This is key for this whole story. Son, your sin are forgiven. Don't you love the fact that Jesus calls him son? He doesn't say, hey, dude, what up? He doesn't say, hey, man, or hey, you sinner. What does he say? Son. That's a term of endearment. I call my boy son. When he's not in trouble, I call him son. You know, right here, Jesus is saying, you're not in trouble. You're not in trouble, man. Come here, son. Come here, son. Your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Come on. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, Jesus always knows our thoughts. Do you remember with Mary in Luke chapter 7 when the Pharisees were there and they were, it wasn't the Pharisees, it was Simon who was condemning Mary, and Jesus read his thoughts? Aren't you glad that it's Jesus that reads our thoughts and not the enemy? Yeah, and Jesus read their thoughts, and he says, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now, if a Latino would have wrote this instead of Mark, it would have been something like this. Woo! Get up! I'm up! I'm getting out of here, baby! Come on now! I'm excited! Why? Because I can walk! I'm out of here! I'm going to my house! Wow, that's exciting. Oh, some of you, I know, you're just kind of afraid of me right now. All right? They are holding someone on the mat. Let me see if I find my place here. You know, this happens. Oh, you know what? I'm going to stop. Were you guys at South when I preached this? Oh, my goodness. Hopefully I preached the same thing. Okay? I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to share something that happened. This is from my heart, and it happened at South, and it's happening here for a reason, and I'll find my place. At Aurora, where I was the pastor, and I don't know if Dave was there that Sabbath, I was preaching on the seven seals. In fact, the treasure before you, sir, was there that Sabbath, so I was already nervous. And I was preaching, and I had prepared during the week for this sermon. You know, it's a heavy-duty subject, the seven seals. And I was preaching when all of a sudden I lost my train of thought. I don't know if that's ever happened to you guys that have been up front. If you've been up front, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I lost my train of thought, and I couldn't find my place in my notes. And, you know, I've always been able to do that, or else I've always been able to just start talking. But I was lost. In fact, I had dreamt when I had been a waiter as a young man that... you know, the food was coming, and I couldn't get the food, and you know, it just, I was in a state of panic. And I thought about this when I was preaching. This thought did come to my head, and I shared this at South, and that is, I thought of Lucy and Ethel when the chocolate started building up, you know, in that line, you know, and first they were just, you know, having a good time, and then all of a sudden the line got a little faster and a little faster. Pretty soon Ethel's putting them in her pockets. Lucy's putting them in her hat. Do you remember that? They're trying to eat them because they are in a state of panic. And that's where I was that Sabbath morning. And I got to the place where I had to be honest with my church. I told them, I don't know where I am. I'm lost. I'm confused. You know, and they were gracious. They didn't laugh at me, or they didn't start yelling at me, or they didn't start saying, hey, pastor, why'd you do that? And even after church, you know, we had potluck, and I was thinking, oh, this is the worst time to have potluck, because now I got to go sit with them and talk about what happened. And so I wrapped up my sermon. I have no idea what I said, but I wrapped up my sermon and went to potluck, was very, very quiet, which I'm never, ever, ever quiet. And I went to potluck, I went home, I sat down in my lazy boy, and I cried. I cried. I wept. And I asked the Lord, what happened? What is going on? Do I need to just stop being a minister? Is this it? Is this over? Are you trying to tell me something? And then just like clear as a bell, clear as a whistle, this thought came into my head. You know what, David? You've just been going through the motions. You've been going through the motions. You've read the Bible so many times. You know it. You know, you don't have to study it daily. You know, I was studying for the sermon, and I was putting my time in it, but I wasn't having that daily walk with Jesus, that time spent with him, that hour in the morning, or even more, because you love him so much that an hour is not enough. And I was missing that. And I was an actor. I was an actor. And the Lord told me that day, that Sabbath afternoon, you know what? I can shut you down in a second. I can shut you down in a minute. And I did. And I did. And from that day forward, I trust you. Trust me when I tell you, I've had a relationship with Jesus that I've never had before. I spend time with him. I love spending time with him. I am in love with Jesus. Absolutely in love with Jesus. And I can't wait to see him. So now let's see if we can find my notes. And sure enough, right here in front of me. Isn't that something? The Lord led me to tell you that story this morning. I believe that with all my heart. And it has to do with this man as well, because he was helpless and I felt helpless in that situation. The house is jamming. It's a party. The house is jamming. Everyone is pressed up against each other. None of you raised your hand, but I've been to one of these kinds of parties where everyone is pressed together. And Jesus is teaching. I believe he was teaching about love and acceptance, because that's what Jesus taught. He taught about love and acceptance. When all of a sudden there is a noise above them, could it be an earthquake? Could it be an earthquake? If you all of a sudden heard a noise in this church, and we live in Colorado, that would be strange if all of a sudden we heard a noise up here on the ceiling. First of all, we'd think that the ceiling was collapsing, but maybe they thought it was an earthquake. Have any of you been in an earthquake? Oh, pretty scary, huh? My brother was in Northridge when that happened in California. He's never been to California again. He stopped. He doesn't want to go because he was so afraid. Maybe they began to panic. Maybe even some ran off, because an earthquake is serious. And all of a sudden there's this noise up in the ceiling. Tiles are broken in the ceiling, and everyone looks up. Above their heads are four men, and they are holding someone on a mat. They lower the mat, and there is a man, and they place him before Jesus. This man is a paralytic. He cannot walk. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." These are the four most beautiful words he had ever heard. Music to his ears. Your sins are what? Forgiven. Your sins are what? Forgiven. Your sins are what? Come on, let's see who's louder, this side or that side. Your sins are what?
Forgiven.
Your sins are what?
Forgiven.
Pretty close. Let's not get too wild. Music to his ears. Now stop and think about this for a minute. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. He could have easily said, stand up and walk. Be healed. As he did with the demoniac or the leper. This is the first miracle where Jesus forgives sins before he heals them. Pay attention. This is the first, what? First person, first miracle that he does with healing, that he forgives the person first before he heals them. The Bible does not say the man's name, but Jesus knew his name. He knew everything about him, and he knew his sins. I've been asking, and I shared this at South. I asked the Lord, I just preached this sermon at South a couple weeks ago. I asked the Lord, I asked Jesus, I asked the Holy Spirit, what did this man do? What did this man do? What did he do? Why was he a paralytical? Paralytic, the Bible doesn't say what he did. Maybe he killed someone. Maybe he hurt someone in a fight and someone got even. Perhaps a jealous husband. As in biblical times, maybe not at this time, but in the Old Testament, if you were caught in adultery, not only you and the woman, or the woman and, you know what I'm saying, the woman and the man were stoned. That's why it was so interesting when they wanted Jesus to stone Mary, but there wasn't a man there. Should have been a man there too. Because the law was, if you committed adultery, both would be stoned. And I thought, well, maybe he had committed adultery and a jealous, you know, and maybe he, you know, was stoned and they kept him alive. Then I talked to a doctor and a doctor told me, and maybe I need to confirm it with the doctor over here, the wise old doctor, young doctor, you know, maybe he had an STD, you know. This is what this old doctor told me. I'm not going to say which one, but he told me this, and Josh laughed about it, so now I don't know. Now I'm more confused. Ellen White, and I love Ellen White, by the way, and if you read her, and if you read the Conflict series, it'll blow away your life. Ellen White says his sins had led him to paralysis, that it was his sins. So something, he did something. He didn't just get sick. I know some people just get sick. That's not your fault. In fact, I just read the book of Job. What an amazing book. We can't judge people. And boy, when you die, you're going right to the grave. Book of Job, great case study. Man, you can't judge. Did I say that already about Job? You can't judge. Can't judge. And why he says his sins had led him to his paralysis. Often our choices, listen to this, young people, often our choices lead us to terrible consequences. I saw this in the Air Force as an Air Force chaplain. I was stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base, my first assignment. This is in Missouri. I'm in trouble now with the ones from Missouri. Right? The folks that sang are from Missouri, right? But that was the joke. That was a joke. But I was at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, okay? And where we lived was a beautiful place, Warrensburg, Missouri. So it's right outside of Kansas City, probably about 60 miles east of Kansas City. And it's right by a state park, so it's a beautiful place. And I was there, and there was a party. And everyone on base knew about this party, and it was off base. It was off base at a tech sergeant's house, so more of a senior NCO, and there was a party. There was a party, and everybody was talking about it. And I remember hearing about it. Of course, I didn't go. I was already old. I wasn't invited. And so in this party, you know what they do at parties? They, you know, drink, and everybody was getting pretty hammered. This young airman came to the party. He had been drinking, which he shouldn't have been drinking because he was 18, underage. In the military, that's a big no-no unless you're deployed. But anyway, you can ask me about that later. So anyway, he was getting hammered, and they had built a big fire, big bonfire. And it was getting bigger and bigger, and they threw this old doghouse on top of the fire, and he decided to impress the young ladies that he would jump on top of the doghouse and then over the fire. Okay, so that's what he did. He jumped on the doghouse collapsed, and because everyone was pretty hammered, no one got him out in time, and he almost burned to death. Okay, now I would go to see him. And I saw him for about 3 months, several months. And he was getting a little better, and then we moved this to another assignment. So I'm not sure what happened to this young man. But that was a terrible, terrible consequence to a really, really bad choice. Really bad choice. And the Air Force isn't like Jesus. See? Because I'm telling you that Jesus, no matter what choices you have made, even if they've been so wrong and so terrible, he'll still forgive you. The Air Force didn't. The Air Force was contemplating on taking this young man and taking away his stripes, or maybe even just taking him or getting him out of the Air Force because his actions weren't in the line of duty. But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus forgives us. Aren't you excited about that? Our choices. Sometimes we experience terrible results. In fact, let's see who I can pick on over here. Okay, where's someone really young? Let's see, a young boy. Come up here. You're just a young boy. Okay? I'm looking for a young boy. Come on up here, partner. You read the scripture, right? Okay? Did you read the scripture this morning? Okay, awesome. And you did a great job. You're like, duh, of course I read it. Okay. See, this is what happens with our choices when we don't realize we have an enemy. So first of all, you know, our enemy, and we know who that is, right? Who's our enemy, church? Satan, right? Our enemy, first, you know, he always, you know, just gets us, you know, like this. He might just say, hey, man, you know, drink this. It's not really going to hurt you. Just drink this a little bit. And then, you know, pretty soon he says, hey, try this cigarette. And then he has you like this, you know, just do the cigarette because, you know, all your friends are doing it. And, you know, it's really, really cool. And then pretty soon you're, you know, maybe drinking some alcohol, you know, and he's got you like this. And then pretty soon something else. Before you know it, the enemy has you like this because of the choices that you have made. I'm not going to hurt you anymore, I promise. Okay? The enemy does that because of our choices. But Jesus will set us free. Jesus will set us free. So therefore, the first great truth in this story is that no matter how awful or terrible the sin or sins you have committed, Jesus will forgive you. That's the first great truth. This is why Paul loved Jesus so much. He had murdered Stephen. He was there. He had seen him be stoned. He watched him die. No wonder Paul said he was the chief of sinners. So what's the first great truth? Jesus, no matter what your sin, Jesus will forgive you. No matter how terrible your sin is, Jesus will forgive you. However, there's not only one wonderful truth in this story, there are more. The second great truth is that this man was led by the Holy Spirit to come to Jesus. This man was led by the Holy Spirit to come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit worked on you to come to Jesus today. This is why you're here this morning. The Holy Spirit worked on you. We are all sick in this church. Ooh, some of you might be thinking, I don't want to go there. We are all sick in this church. This church is a hospital for sinners. And today on this glorious Sabbath, the invitation is given by Jesus our Savior. If you come to me, your sins will be forgiven in this church on this Sabbath. Okay? This is something I've always wanted to do, Jamie. I've always wanted to be the David Letterman pastor. You know, just throw my notes so that way I don't get lost in them. Okay? So there it is, the invitation. What beautiful music to our ears. Maybe you don't think you're sick this morning. Maybe you feel you're perfect with, you know, you're without sin. Is there anyone here? I used to do this at Aurora. David, do you remember this? Is there anyone here who is perfect? Stand up so we can get a good look at you. Come on, stand up. David, you're almost perfect, baby. Get a good look at you. That's so that we can get a perfect idea of what a perfect person looks like. The third great truth in this story is this man's wonderful friends. This man's wonderful friends. Think about it. Four great friends. True friends will always take you to Jesus. I always tell this to my boys. Your good friends, they'll draw you close to Jesus. True friends will lead you to where you need to be. I tell my boys, you're about to start dating. Hopefully they haven't already. I don't know. You know, 14 and 16. You know, choose that girl that will lead you or get you closer to Jesus. Choose that girl. I tell them this, and hopefully you remember this, and I don't want to be offensive to anyone. Red, yellow, black, or white, as long as she's an Israelite. You know? Red, yellow, black, or white, as long as she's an Israelite. Now, if you are thinking about marriage, think about that girl. Think about that man. Are they bringing you close to Jesus? I praise the Lord every day that I married my wife, Kathy. And she's not here this morning. Our boys had a program at Littleton. But I praise the Lord every day that I married an Adventist young lady who loved Jesus. Because there's not one Saturday night that she says, hey, let's go do this, or let's go do that, or let's party over here, or let's try this. No. No, she gets me closer to Jesus. How about an amen for that? Wow. I love the people in my life who get me closer to Jesus. Mark gets me closer to Jesus. Every time you play that piano, you get me closer to Jesus. Jamie, when I hear you preach, you get me closer to Jesus. When I hear David Asherick preach, oh my goodness. I don't ever even want to preach again. I don't know how you feel, Jamie. I never want to preach again when I hear David. Because he's on another level. In fact, you know, sometimes I go home and I think, this guy could be a prophet. I can't proclaim him a prophet. Maybe you guys could proclaim him a prophet. But I think, wow, does he get me closer to Jesus? I've never heard anyone that doesn't have one note. I mean, he just goes back and forth. He's everywhere, and he's just boom, boom. He's a genius for Jesus. He's a genius for Jesus. And I love to hear him preach. And I'll tell you what. If you really want to have someone get you closer to Jesus, read the Conflict series. It will, right? They will blow you away. Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, the Acts of the Apostles, which one am I missing? Desire of Gages, the Great Controversy. They will get you so close to Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. When the scribes and the Pharisees heard Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, they were shocked. Who does this man think he is? Does he think he is God? Moses never forgave sins. Samuel never forgave sins. David didn't forgive anyone. How dare this man think he can forgive sin? Who does he think he is? God? This is blasphemy. Leviticus 24:16 says, if anyone speaks blasphemy, they should be stoned to death. This character deserves to die. This is what they were thinking in their heads. Then Jesus read their thoughts and he said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven? Anyone can say that. Or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. After this miracle, these sick Pharisees who didn't think they were sick, started plotting against Jesus. They started to hate him. Alan White says this paralytic man had gone to the Pharisees for help, and instead of helping him, they had condemned him. The Pharisees regarded affliction and disease as evidence of divine displeasure, so they distanced themselves from the sick and the needy. They taught the people that God rejected all who were sick. They didn't read the book of Job, did they? This is why this man felt so helpless and his situation so hopeless. The Pharisees had condemned him to hell, and this verdict had sunk him into despair. Then he heard the wonderful works of Jesus. He was told others as helpless as him had been healed. He told his friends about Jesus, and they encouraged him to see Jesus. But his hope fell when he thought of his own sin, and he feared this pure physician would not tolerate him in his presence. Maybe there is someone here who feels that God could not possibly accept them. Is there someone here this morning that feels, and you don't raise your hand, God knows who you are. You might be feeling that there is no way, because of your sin, that God could accept you. Jesus knows your story. I'm going to say it again. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. The Pharisees believed Jesus had attacked them. They remembered how this man had asked them for help. They had refused him hope or sympathy, and they saw Jesus' influence on the people, and they were filled with confusion and embarrassment, which led to jealousy. Did you know that's the worst sin you can have? Maybe besides pride is jealousy. How many of you have ever been jealous? Come on. If you don't raise your hand, you're a big liar. Okay? How many of you have been jealous? Okay? I've been jealous before. I remember it so clear. In fact, some of you might know this young man. I went to school, and I'm not going to say but I went to school at Mile High when I was from fifth grade to ninth grade. And in seventh grade, I thought I was pretty cool. And then this young man came to our school. He ended up marrying Shelley Blackburn. That might tell all. Okay, some of you chuckled. This young man came to our school, and he was blonde, and he was handsome, and he was a good student, and he was a great athlete. And before long, I felt a spirit I had never felt in my heart before. I was jealous. I was, plus the fact we all like Shelley, And I was jealous. Oh, and it was such a horrible feeling. And I had that for, a year, at least a year. But I kept it to myself. But it eats on you. In fact, if you watch Discovery ID, you'll see how it eats on people. The most horrible crimes are because of jealousy. Now, I didn't have that feeling again until I was in high school, and this young man took my girlfriend. And then I was jealous again. Then I was in seminary, and I was dating a girl that I thought I was going to marry, and I was absolutely in love. And she broke up with me and went out with another guy, and I was jealous again. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't have Jesus in my heart, I would have done something terrible. Something terrible. Jealousy is a horrible, horrible thing. And because the Pharisees were so jealous, they did what they did to Jesus. And here's the final truth in this story. What time is it? Are you guys about to leave? Yeah. Ooh, I went way too long today. I'm so sorry, but I'm almost done. And here's the final truth in this story, and it's a scary one. The leaders of Israel did not believe they were sinners. Pharisees did not believe they were sinners. They came to see Jesus not to have their sins forgiven, but to see what all the excitement was about, and to get a glimpse of the man who could heal. They had been the ones who could save someone through their rituals or condemn someone if they thought of them as unworthy. They had complete power over the people. Now their lives were exposed. What about you? This is where this sermon becomes personal. What about you? Do you see your sin? Or do you feel this story applies to someone else because you're pretty good? In fact, your talent, and I've seen this talent as a pastor, in fact, your talent lies in seeing the sin in others. Have you become the church police? Don't look at anyone now, okay? Have you become the church police? I've had people that I knew. Somewhere, somehow, they got a badge. I'm not sure where. Do you criticize or do you love? Do you criticize or do you love? Come on, ask yourself that question. Maybe your criticism is in your heart. That person is fat. They have no self-control. That person is gay. He's going to hell. That woman, that hoochie mama, wow, well, look at what she's wearing. That person eats meat. They even eat cheese. That teenager talks and runs in church. That person believes in abortion. That person doesn't believe in it. That person is for women's ordination. That person is against women's ordination. Ah! I have been that person. I'm guilty of judging. And as a pastor, I did it really, really well. And guess what? I might hide it from you, but I'm not hiding it from Jesus. I'm hiding it from you, but I'm not hiding it from Jesus. He knows my thoughts. Just as he knew what the Pharisees were thinking about him. Ellen White says in The Desire of Ages, in this chapter, it's about page 270, it's the chapter of the leper and the paralytic, Desire of Ages, in this chapter about the paralytic, that our prejudice, watch this, that our prejudice and bigotry is much more evil than the sin of the paralytic. Our prejudice and our bigotry is much more evil than the sin of the paralytic, especially if we don't see we are sinners too. You get it? Are you tracking? We are all sinners and all of us need Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. The great news this morning, if you see your sin and you want to be healed, the one that forgives is here today. The one that forgives is here today. And he is willing for you to hear the four most beautiful words, music to our ears, your sins are forgiven. What a savior. What a savior. Our mission as Christians, this is why I love David Asherick's Table of Truth. Our mission as Christians is not to heal or transform anyone. We can't. I can't heal anyone, and I can't transform anyone. But we can bring ourselves, and we can bring others to Jesus, the one that can heal us and save us. And one day we can be next to Mary, Paul, and Peter and say, look at him. Look at him, our Savior. Don't you just love him? Amen. Amen. Jesus saves. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you so much for being our Savior. Thank you so much for what you did for us. We can't wait to see you and worship you. Amen. Amen.